This is Honest Reporting with Simon Plosker, keeping an eye on media bias and fake news.
Good afternoon, Simon Plosker. I am so sorry, but we've been having terrible technical issues. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Can we start with the story about this Israeli girl who was murdered in Australia? We've been reporting on it, and I see that one of the articles on your website is about how the facts about the case have been misappropriated for political ends.
Yes. I mean, this is a really horrible, horrible story. This poor girl, Aya Mahsara, you know, allegedly raped and murdered in Melbourne. Of course, it made news in Australia, clearly, and in the Israeli media. Let's be clear. She was an Israeli citizen. She was in Australia on an Israeli passport. But she's an Israeli Arab. But she's, you know, she's a citizen of Israel. And therefore, it was Israel's responsibility for the embassy in Canberra to, you know, deal with this horrible situation. And of course, you know, we mourn her as any other Israeli, because, you know, she's one of our own. Now, I think, let's be clear, it's no secret that Israel's Arab citizens self-define in, you know, in different ways. And there's no problem with that. Many of them are proud Israelis. Some of them see themselves as Palestinians above all else, despite being Israeli citizens, and that's fine. And Israel still treats them as citizens deserving of the same legal rights afforded to all Israelis. However, what we saw in The Guardian, the British newspaper, was an article, an op-ed by a Sydney-based Janine Kallick. She's a journalist for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and she happens to be of Palestinian descent. And the headline says it all here. An angel, a diamond. Aya Mahsara's Palestinian identity was erased after her death. And basically, this journalist is accusing the media of literally erasing her Palestinian identity by calling her an Israeli or an Arab Israeli. So according to her, the preferred terms include a Palestinian citizen of Israel or Palestinian with Israeli citizenship. And she says that excluding the word Palestinian is a political statement which erases Palestinians. Now, quite frankly, I think that any term that you would use, Israeli Arab, Arab Israeli, you know, Palestinian of Israeli citizenship, all of these are politically loaded. But in this case, it's about this journalist inserting her own personal identity into the story. She identifies as a Palestinian, and she has chosen which of these descriptions she prefers. So it's not about factual reporting, it's her own personal opinions. But I think what's worse here is the fact that she has decided to turn this into a political issue on the back of this young woman's murder. I think that is absolutely disgusting. And to turn this, you know, most people, when they see anything to do with, Israel, Palestinians, they start thinking of conflict, of, you know, things like, they talk about occupation of, you know, the disputed territories, et cetera, et cetera. This was not a story about that. This is a story about someone who was murdered. Someone who was proud to represent Israel in sporting events abroad, I'm told, as well. So under an Israeli flag. So this is, I think, it's very, very disappointing.
And ultimately it's tragic.
It is tragic. Absolutely it's tragic. You know, the emphasis should be on what happened to her.
And the loss of life, exactly.
Not about the politics of herself, but how she self-identifies.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because the Times of Israel came out with this story first, and it certainly led with a headline saying Israeli Arab killed in, and I just thought, what is the relevance of whether she was Arab or not?
Exactly.
It was an Israeli who was killed.
Exactly.
In, and I just didn't get it. And then subsequently they've dropped that portion, and now they're talking about an Israeli who was killed in Melbourne. But it is interesting that this is an issue.
Very interesting.
Well, and I also think it's something that the Israel haters and the BDS people, I mean, this is scary for them because, you know, they see Israel treating an Arab citizen as one of their own. And it's scary for them because it completely, it destroys the narrative of an apartheid state when they see Israeli Arabs being treated equally as Jews, to the same as Jews.
Very interesting. Okay, can we get to another story about, you know, we live in a society where information, people get the story from the headline. And I just think that we've become academically or cerebrally, I won't say too lazy. Very, very lazy. We don't like to read the footnotes. We don't look into it. We don't question. We just suck it up.
So, you're absolutely right.
So, Simon, can you just go through what are the steps? What are the, you know, if you had to give us a checklist of being news literate, what would be on that list? Yes.
So we've put together what we call the 7 news habits you need to develop to be, you know, news literate. I invite people to go and look at it on our website. I don't think we'll have time to go through it in much detail right now, but just to give you a little taster, some of the things that we advise people to do. Number one, set aside your own personal biases. So, you know, I think all of us have a personal bias. I'm pro-Israel, and I admit that, but you know, if you don't leave these things unchecked, then your own personal biases will lead you to interpret, to favor, and remember information in a way that confirms your pre-existing beliefs. And it's something called confirmation bias. I think it's quite interesting. People don't even, they don't even remember the actual facts. And so you become very vulnerable to bad guys trying to manipulate public opinion. And I don't know what the demographic of the audience is, and I don't want to be ageist, but there was a study that was published that found that people over 65, and also those identified as very conservative, they shared 7 times more fake information on Facebook than anyone else.
Wow. No.
And this isn't because, you know, people over the age of 65 happen to be, terrible news consumers. It's because of, it's the generational thing where they have a lack of digital literacy. You know, they can't identify what is true and false on social media because they simply haven't been brought up with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't tell the truth from the lies on the social networks as easily as, you know, others. Although having said that, I would also say that younger people as well are also very, very open to manipulation. So, I'm not quite sure that this study had a look at that enough. I'm sorry for all of the listeners who are over 65, but the whole point is to try and make people sort of think more about what they're looking at. So challenge your assumptions, tune out the emotions, and look at the news as a critical thinking exercise. And don't feel so overconfident in your knowledge that you stop gathering new information. So for example, never rely on, the algorithmic feeds, such as Google News or stuff that you see on Facebook. You know, go to actual news services. That's one of the major things that we would say to do. And also just maintain your focus as well, because, if you take in too much news, then you'll start to tune out. That's something I suffer from because I look at nearly every single thing online every day. It's a miracle my head hasn't exploded. Social media is great, but if you see things like breaking news, verify it. Go check a mainstream news website. Don't just start clicking share all over your social media because you'll find you are accidentally spreading fake news.
Yeah. Can I also put into that forwarding WhatsApp hoaxes? You know, don't drive to this petrol station because they were giving out perfume sachets and it drugs you and then they put you into, sex slavery and all sorts of things. Please just verify instead of just sharing it and having to retract it because invariably, once it happens, it's out there.
Yeah, it's so difficult to get these things back in the bottle, as it were, after they've gone out. It's a very, very difficult thing to do.
Simon Plusker. Thank you so much for your time today. And it's been really nice to actually have the time to talk at length with you.